Amen. Let's clap our hands to the Lord tonight. Come on, let's clap our hands to the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Somebody give the Lord some praise right now. I know it's Monday, it's raining outside, but can somebody please give the Lord some praise tonight? Can somebody please give him some praise tonight? He doesn't ask much, but can somebody just give God some praise in the house tonight? Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise. Give him worship tonight. Amen. Lord, I love what I feel tonight in the house of the Lord. Amen. Why don't you turn around and tell somebody the devil's in for a bad night tonight? Come on, tell somebody else behind you. The devil's in for a bad night tonight. Amen. He's messed with the wrong people tonight. Amen. He's pushed some of you folks in the corner for too long. And your back is against the wall. But we serve a God who shows his best work when your back is against the wall. The Bible says he's the Lord strong and mighty. And he's mighty in your battle. And he's in this house right now on a Monday night. Lord, ain't no telling what God's going to do tonight. Amen. And as I was getting dressed today, Brother Carr, I said, man, I'm gonna sort of do it a little bit good tonight. Amen. I'm going to get in the closet, and I'm going to get a suit my wife picked out. But as the service was moving, I said, well, I think I might have to shed my jacket. I might have to loosen my tie. Because I don't want to have no restrictions on what God wants to do tonight. Amen. I want to know if anybody just come to praise him tonight. I know it's Monday. You worked 8 hours in that world. And you walked into this tabernacle. Your life may be shredded to pieces. But in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is here. To break every chain, to take care of every sickness, to put a bridge over your troubled waters, there's nothing God can't do. Hallelujah. In Mark chapter 5, amen, I promise I won't keep you long. Amen. Truly the presence of the Lord is in this place. Mark chapter 5, amen, verse number 21. Amen. If you're there, say amen. If you're not, just amen. Look on the screen and you can cheat tonight. Amen. Thank God for technology. Amen. The Bible says, and when Jesus was passed over again by the ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. My Lord. An impossible situation. But he finds himself in the vicinity of the God Almighty. Nothing could stop him on his journey to get to what Jesus is, Brother Levi. It didn't matter if there was a storm clouds outside. He had one objective. I've got to get to Jesus. And nobody's going to stop me from getting to where Jesus is. I'm telling you, folks, you just don't have a clue what desperation can produce. I want to minister to you tonight on this Monday night on the subject, what desperation can produce. Amen. Why don't you grab a hold of the hand beside you if it's appropriate. Would you help me pray? Lord, I love you tonight. Thank you, God, for what we feel in this atmosphere that you have, oh, so evidently, God, you've stepped into tonight. I pray, God, that you would heal the brokenhearted. Set the captive free tonight, Lord, I pray. You respond to praise and you respond to faith. And I pray, God, you fill this place with great faith and great praise. And we promise to give you praise and glory and honor. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you turn around and shake somebody's hand? Let them know Jesus loves you and you love them too. And if you're going to help me preach, you can be seated. If not, you can remain standing so we can know who you are tonight. Amen. What desperation can produce? Amen. I realize living for God comes with ups and comes with downs. I realize that living with God, amen, living for God, it's a life that's based upon faith. Faith in believing that God can and that God will do what man cannot do tonight. Can we say amen? I believe I'm preaching to people who knows what it feels like to have your back against the wall, but somehow, some way, God always shows up right on time. Amen. We've seen that old song that he may not come when you want him to, but he will be there right on time. Anybody, amen, have I got that testimony tonight? Amen. You know what it feels like to be down to nothing, but you've got revelation that when you're down to nothing, God is always up to something. Amen. You got revelation that when your back was against the wall and people have given up on you, that God said, I will never leave you, that I will never forsake you. He is an ever-present help in the time of need. That's the kind of God that we serve tonight. So when we look at the New Testament, we find that people in their lives are broken. They had issues. They had serious conditions, problems. And when the doctors couldn't solve the problems, when the physicians of that day could not solve their problems, they set trail to find out who Jesus was, because they had heard by rumor that if you can ever find out where this Jesus is, he can put your life back together again. Can we say amen? It's sort of like when I was growing up in school, we would have this demonstration, and we would start out with a story one way, and by the time it got to the end of the class, they would have to interpret, and the story was all messed up. It's sort of like Jesus. Everywhere that Jesus went, he was leaving a legacy. In other words, when Jesus would go to one town, he would heal somebody, and before he ever got to the next town, his fame had already showed up before Jesus had already showed up. For example, amen, the Bible says, amen, that there was this leprous man who had this disease, but he heard that Jesus was on the mountain giving revival with his disciples. And if you can ever get in the presence of this God, he can take care of the issue. But the law says he was an outcast. He had to be separated from everyone else. And to make matters worse, can you imagine walking through Whiteland declaring, amen, that I'm unclean? It had to deal with his psyche, but understand something. We're talking about desperation. We're talking about a man who at any time could die because leprosy would attack the joints. Amen. You can have a hand 1 second, and the next second you couldn't have a hand because leprosy was a faint taint of sin. But he heard that this master of the sea is getting revival at the top of a mountain. But the law says, leave him alone. The law says that you're an outcast. Now, he had two choices. I can heed to what the law says, or I can forget about what the law says and forget about what people say, because I've got a need in my life. I got to go to where Jesus is. So the Bible says that here comes Jesus. He's having revival with the disciples, and they come down from the mountain, and Jesus looks behind him, and to our amazement, it's not the apostles who are behind Jesus. Could it be? Yes, it is the one who has leprosy. It's the one who society says is an outcast. It's the one who society says that you're less than, but he finds himself in the presence of Jesus. I believe, friend, it was desperation that calls him and say, you know what? I don't care what the lawyer says. I don't care what my friends say. I don't care what the church down the road says. I've got to get to where Jesus is, because he's the only. got a witness on Monday who realizes that there was a day when you was lost in sin, but you realize there's a God who can pull you out, and you find yourself at the foot of a cross where you obtain mercy, and he picks you up and he turns you around. This man, God heals him. And Jesus could not just openly go into any kind of city. Because when he would show up, there was folks who were waiting on him. Not to pat him on the back. Not to shake his hand. But folks who were broken. Folks who were lost. And their minds were messed up. They realized that he's the one who can touch me and he can make me whole. He's the one who can touch me and drop every disease. I don't care what I have to do. I may have to climb a sycamore tree or press my way through the crowd. No matter what I've got to do, I've got to get to Jesus. But notice, anytime you try to get to Jesus, there's always opposition in the way. And if we're not careful, we will let opposition push you out of the way from getting to Jesus. Can I tell you, friend, that no circumstance that you go through, God, amen, has the power to heal. It's no situation that you find yourself in tonight that God cannot turn around. The problem is, how desperate are you tonight? Are you desperate enough to clap your hands on Monday? Are you desperate enough to shout? Are you how desperate are you tonight to say, Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me? But the law says, but the skeptics say, you're too far gone. People say, leave him alone. Can I tell you, friend, don't focus on what people say about you, because we are not people pleasers. We are God pleasers. And if Jesus said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, I'm going to seek him while I can find him tonight. Jairus goes to Jesus. He said, Jesus, my daughter is going to die. Notice what Jesus replies to him. Jesus, okay, Jairus, here, let's go to your house. I'm going to go to your house. Jairus is so excited because now Jesus is coming. Well, all of a sudden, somebody steps in the way. Wait a minute, Jesus. Come on, come on, come on. Wait a minute. Somebody just touched me, Jairus. What do you mean? The disciples said, Jesus, you're crazy. Come on, you know. No. You don't realize. As I was headed to Jairus' house and the crowd was following me, somebody in that crowd reached out and touched me. Why? Because they had the right touch. I want to pause on this beautiful Monday afternoon and let somebody know tonight who walked in this middle with kind of issues. Do you have the right touch on a Monday night to touch God and have him stop? Come on, do you have the right touch? Shake off fear, shake off doubt. Do you have the right touch tonight that'll cause him to stop and to heal your body? Do you have the right touch that'll cause him to stop? Do you have the right touch? Everybody's touching him, but there's one woman who was down to nothing who had the right touch.
Great group of crowd. You people look beautiful tonight, but do you have the right touch? Because you see, I don't know how bad you need Jesus. You may not want to touch Jesus, but that's okay. Brother Carl, I need to touch him tonight. Because I need God to calm the raging sea, the storms that are against me. I need God to touch me. So desperation says, I may have to climb the tree. I may have to jump over a pew. I may have to run around the aisle. I don't matter what I have to do. I've got to have Jesus come to my rescue. Because if God doesn't fix it, it remains broken. Jesus sees this woman who has this issue of blood According to the law, 16 years is all you can survive with this kind of an issue. Is this okay? Can I come down here tonight? It's okay. You won't bite me, will you? 16 years. So in other words, it was more than just desperation. Now it takes on a new meaning because now she's literally at 16 years. So now she was at the point of death. It's not that she was even guaranteed tomorrow because 16 years was the max. She had reached the max. So now we're looking at a do or die situation. How do you respond when it seems like you throw your hand, there's nothing else you can do? You tried all the physicians of that day. You tried every medication. You don't have a 401k package. You've exhausted all your options. You did not get better, but you just got worse. I really don't like going to the doctor. And they give me this medication only to expect me to get better, but 3 days later, I'm getting worse. So you got to. It's more than now. It's not just about her, the issue that she dealt with. Now you got to look at from what she dealt with in her mind. Now it takes on a different meaning because she has the issue, but her mind says, Brother Carter, any minute she could die. 16 years was the max. At any minute, life could come to an end. But desperation says, I know I'm the littlest one in the crowd. I know I'm just frail to my bones. I know I don't have a lot of strength, but I just got enough energy to reach out and touch him through the crowd. And she touched him and he stopped preaching to somebody right now. You just can't sit there and pretend. You got to say, God, I've got to get desperate tonight. I want to touch you tonight, God. I'm going to hold you tonight. I may have to do this by myself. I may look foolish tonight, God, but I'm desperate for a move of you in my life. This woman's healed, and here come the skeptics. It's okay, Jairus. Leave him alone. Your daughter's already dead. Leave him alone. The first thing Jesus had to do when he went to the house, is he had to get the skeptics at the house. Oh, now we're preaching tonight. The first thing Jesus had to do, Brother Weir, before he could ever raise her from the dead, he says, I've got to get those who don't believe I can do it, get them at the house. I've got to get those who don't believe that I've got all power in heaven to get them at the house. I've got to get those who doubt my power out the house. But I got to keep those who believe that I'm able to do it, see them, but keep them in the house. I got to get those who believe that I'm going to keep them in the house. I've got to get them who believe that I'm a way maker. I'm a promise keeper. I'm a lifesaver. I'm a soul saver. Keep them in the house. Sometimes preaching, man, you feel like the Holy Ghost is getting ready to move, but always you have that skeptical in the crowd. And everybody's looking, thinking, and I know you're thinking now, boy, I wonder if he's going to get me tonight. Right about this time is when everybody starts praying, Lord, I need you right now. Send him over that way. But in every congregation, there's always a skeptic in the crowd. Is this Holy Ghost business, is it really real? Does it take all that shouting and dancing? Why can't we just calm down there and sing a couple kumbayas and go home the same way we came? Can I give you revelation while we can't? Because he brought us out of darkness. He brought some of you out of drugs. He put your life, that's why you can't sit down, and that's why we can't pretend. I want more of God and less of the world. I want more of God. I want more Holy Ghost. I gotta have God today. I can't wait. I can't wait. I need God to move right now. And you may be a guest of ours. You may think we're crazy. We're not crazy. We just got revelation that we've been bought with a price. Our life is not our own, but God loves us tonight.
what he did for me.
He wants to do the same for you tonight. Because truth be told, you walk in this beautiful building and you're at your wit's end. You don't know how the story's going to turn out. But if you'll put the hand in the master's pan, you'll get understanding God is still writing your story. And it's for his glory. I wish you understood God is reaching for you right now. He's trying to pull you out tonight. But you got to get desperate for God. You got to be willing to shed yourself of this world. And people who were desperate for God to move in that situation. It produced great miracles. My daughter tonight, Jayla, who's with me, she's the only one in my family tonight who's not rebellious. Herp and edit that on the Facebook. Herp and edit that, please. Please don't call my wife or my other daughter. I remember Brother Ken, where she didn't have the Holy Ghost. She kept coming to church. And let me tell you how selfish daddy was. My daughter has a little disability. And I said, well, God has a separate place for just individuals. It'll be okay. I had to deal with that, the torment of the devil in my mind, that she's going to be okay. But I knew God's no respecter of person. God don't care what your age is, what your color is, what your background is.
I remember sitting playing the drums one day, and I remember I didn't have to go lay hands on her. I'm not no hotshot evangelist to bring, no. But I remember when she raised her hands and lifted her hands in her pew, and I remember I could watch her face, the desperation, the tears begin to scream down her face. Society. People said, and the devil said, and the daddy of God said, watch me do a miracle, because somebody is desperate. Somebody has some preaching right now. When you get desperate for God, there's no mountain that he can't move. There's no situation that he can't reverse. But I want to know, is anybody desperate? Does anybody want more of God? Are you sick and tired of the chains? Are you sick and tired of the bondage? You don't have a clue what your desperation can produce tonight. Come on, lift your hands in this tabernacle right now. Haraboko shatae. I said, lift your hands. You don't have a clue what desperation can produce tonight. Amen. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he did yesterday, he's going to do tomorrow. But the good news is he wants to perform a miracle right now. But the question is, it's just how desperate we are. I'm desperate for God to heal my body. God, I'm desperate for you to touch my family. It was this woman, the Bible says, that she went to Jesus not for herself. Let me preach to mama right now. She went to Jesus not for herself. She said, God, according to the law, you don't owe me nothing, and I don't owe you nothing. I'm not even part of your relationship, God. I know I'm not a Jew, but God, I've got a daughter who's grieving is vexed for the devil, and I'm not going home, Jesus, until you take care of my situation. Let me preach your mama tonight that you're sick and tired of what hell's doing. Square your shoulders and plant your feet and say, God, I'm not going home until you take care of my situation. Because you don't have to accept the situation as it is. The world will give you a bag of goods and tell you to accept it as it is. But you got to understand who we're preaching about tonight. They did not go looking for a better way, easy way. They went to the mother groves of life just to get to where Jesus is. You know, the beauty about today is this. Folks, you had a rough day. I'm sure most of you have had a rough day. But you made it to the house of God. Here's the thing. Why don't you just get everything God has for you today while it's yet today?
Listen, if I was here and I was never baptized in Jesus' name, I would thank God for mercy because here, let's back up here. Hold on. Because here, let's consider this statistic. I heard a guy tell me one time. He said, every second that you are alive, there's some folks that you don't even have a clue. There's folks that don't even have a clue that slipped off into eternity. Now, you math gurus, you do the math. I woke up this morning about 6:30. It's 7:47. You do the math. Every second, somebody, somewhere, we don't even know him, Brother Ken, slipped off into eternity. Some are ready. Brother Harold Hoffman, great preacher, got his eternal reward. He's ready. But on the flip side, there's people who didn't even expect it because God called their number. And they can do about it. Here's the thing about God, when God calls your number, I don't care how many of these times they pump you. When God says it's over,
it's over.
It's over.
That's right.
They can say, well, no. When God says it's over, then it's over. But here's the beauty of it is. Here's the beauty. If you're here, you don't have the Holy Ghost, you've never been baptized. Here's the beauty. You're still here.
That's right. Still
got this opportunity. That means it's Monday night. I still got an opportunity to get things right. So, Lord, I'm desperate for you to touch me right now. I didn't come to play games. I didn't even come to hear the preacher preach. I come to encounter God because my life is a wreck. I've got so many answers. I've got so many questions, and I don't have the answer. I've got the answer for you tonight. The answer lies in Jesus, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Come on, let's all stand in this tabernacle tonight. See, the hardest part about this service is this right here. I enjoy preaching. I love preaching. But I love this next part. I love this next part. It's where you get down and you just get dirty. Because all decisions take place right now. You can care less what I preach, and that's okay. Well, God gave us the power to choose. The ability to choose. The Bible says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. This woman had a choice. I can choose to reach out and touch him, or I can go home and die. Jairus had a choice. I can choose to leave my home and go find Jesus so I can sit and watch my daughter. This woman at Canaan, she had a choice. I can sit here and watch my daughter be tormented. Her life is a wreck. I can go find Jesus. Can I tell somebody today, you may have dirt on your fingernails, and that's okay. God has the power to remove the dirt right now. It's not by happenstance you're here. It's sort of like, let me tell you what a preacher does. Sort of like what Jesus does when this man's having a wedding. The Bible says his son's having a wedding. So what he does is he goes and he gets the best there was. He did not do that. My daughter's getting ready to get married. And I've been praying, Lord Jesus, you got to hurry up and come back. My daughter's getting ready to get married. God bless her. But she has all these. Cookies and the cakes and the dress and she's giving these save the dates and all. But see, the difference between her wedding and this man's wedding was there was no special people that was invited. He said, go get the good, but also get the bad. Don't leave nobody out. You go tell them, come on. There's a party going on. I've got the best there is. He said, I've got room for everybody. You just got to come. Tell them to come. They don't have to leave. I don't care what's going on. Just tell them to come. What Jesus does is he uses a minister. And every time the minister stands behind this platform, he gives an invitation to just say, come. The table is prepared.
preacher, I'm broken. You don't know what I'm going through. That's okay. He said, just tell them to come. He told the bad ones to come. Not the good ones. Not.
I don't just want the wealthy. Give me the broken ones. Give me the ones who have been stepped on. Tell them I got a place for them. They're not going to sit in the back. I've got everything's paid for. Tell them to bring the prop. Bring it home.
But just tell them to come. And I feel tonight in the Holy Ghost that God is trying to tell somebody, all you just got to do is just come. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have all the answers. You just got to come. Pack your bags and say, devil, I'm leaving. I've got to go to where Jesus is. Sometimes we think we have to be perfect and put everything together and dot our I's and cross our T's before we come to God. It doesn't work that way. You just come as you are. And you let God do the fixing in your life tonight. I'm preaching to people in this building that I can literally, I'm so confident today on this Monday, I can walk and tap you on your shoulder and say, sir, you need God to move in your life. I can tap you on the shoulder and say, ma'am, you've been crying in the midnight hour. You think God doesn't hear you. But God told this preacher to let you know that it's in your act of desperation. God will turn your situation around. Sir, the Holy Ghost is here for you tonight, ma'am. God's ready to turn your life around. You don't have to go home the same way you came, but let God do a work for you right now today. But I want you to know something so very important about Jairus. I want you to know something very important about the man who had leprosy. I want you to know something about this woman with the issue of blood. Something so significant that they had important. Besides, they had issues. They didn't wait for Jesus to come to them, but instead, they went running to Jesus. Because desperation says, Lord, I've had enough. My heart is broken, my life is a wreck. And tonight, God, I'm coming running tonight. Because, God, you're the only one who can fix me. And tonight I need something to change in my life right now. I didn't come to make you shout. I didn't come to make you dance, but I did come to let somebody know that when you encounter God, every chain that's got you bound has to fall off. Every situation that you're facing by yourself, God said, I'm going to navigate you through this thing called life. Oh, but I wish tonight there was somebody in these pews who had enough faith to believe that God can, that you'll leave your pew right now and say, I'm going to let mama hold me hostage. My friends are going to keep me in my pew. Daddy's not going to hold me hostage. But Jesus, I've come running tonight because I need your help tonight. Here's what I'm going to do right now in this house. I feel the Holy Ghost, and God's going to do some healing. God's going to do some. So I want you to grab a hold of the hand beside you right now. And we're going to have an altar right now. God, I pray right now. I'm praying. God, I pray that whoever you are in this house, that you'll heed to this word right now. God's calling you tonight. Because whether you believe it or not, you need God. You'll never survive without God. You need God to repair the wounds and the hurt and the scars. And tonight, God's going to do some healing right now in this house. But here's the difference. God's not going to come to you tonight. We can preach about him. But tonight, God wants you to have enough faith to come to him. Because notice what the Bible says when Peter was yet in prison and the church kept praying, the angel tapped him on the shoulder. Notice what happened when Peter got up and started moving. Every chain that had Peter bound, everything that had him bound, because he got up and started moving, he had no other choice but to let him go. You want the chains that got you bound to fall off? It's easy. You just got to move. You got to come to where he is. Because when you encounter this God, every chain that's got you bound has got to let you, every shackled, even that's trying to destroy your marriage, has got to let you go. Every demon that's trying to destroy your family has got to let you go. I'm preaching. I wish to God there was somebody that said, Jesus, I need a turnaround tonight. I need a breakthrough tonight. I need to come in and separate me tonight. So the hand that you got a hold of, I want you to take that hand and I want you to lead them to this altar, because here's what's going to happen. One or two things. Either they're going to come or they're not going to come. But I'll tell you this. If you want to come and they want to come, don't you let them keep in your seat. You come because you need Jesus. So that hand you got a hold of, I want you to take that hand and I want you to leave that pew. And I want you to have enough faith to believe that the very thing I struggle with, God's going to take it away. The very thing that's got me bound, God's going to take it away. And it starts tonight. I'm not moving backwards, but I'm moving. Come on, somebody. I wish you pray. I wish you grab a hold of that hand and say, let's go. We can't live in depression any longer. I can't live in these chains. I can't be held bondage any longer. This sickness is not going to hold me hostage. But tonight, God. Come on, that's it. That's it. God, I'm desperate tonight. I'm desperate, God. Look at my desperation. You don't know what desperation can produce. It can produce a miracle. It can produce a turnaround. It can produce something great tonight.